Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm still William Cooper, and I'm still here. And it's a wonder. A lot of upset people out there. All the British Israelites are up in arms, stomping and spitting fire and chewing at the bit. Or I've pushed their buttons. And now, the Mormon Church is spitting fire, chewing at the bit, stomping up and down, raving and ranting, and claiming that I am some kind of a lunatic heretic. But none of them can explain the facts that I gave during my broadcast. Neither can they refute them. They're irrefutable, ladies and gentlemen. Anytime you set yourself up as being a master race, better than anybody else, knowing it all, in lieu of the fact that there are literally tens of thousands of other religions and churches in the world all claiming the exact same thing, then you become literally a fool. Unfortunately, but that's a fact. You see, anyone who has not investigated every religion that exists upon the face of the earth, all claiming that they are true, the only inviolable teachers of the Word of God, the only ones who know the truth, the only ones who have it down pat, understand the secrets of life on earth and life in heaven and the interaction between the two. And that's not even speaking for the ones who claim there is no heaven and that there is no God and that there is no prophet or angels or demons or anything else but just man. See, if you have investigated every single one of them and you have settled for one based upon the faith that somebody told you that it's right, because religion is called religion because it cannot be called science, ladies and gentlemen. It cannot be proven. It's based upon an article of faith simply because someone told you something and you have decided to believe it. And that is not just attributed to one religion, but every single religion upon the face of the earth. That is the definition of religion. I believe this is true because I have faith in the person who told me or the book that I read that says that it is true, and I am going to believe it regardless of what anyone else says. Now, if you do that, and you do not know thoroughly the doctrines and teachings of every religion upon the face of this earth, you've done something very wrong. Very wrong. Because if you have not investigated them all, and they all claim that they're right, then you can never know that you are right based simply upon an article of faith. Not only that, but all major organized religions, in fact, I'm going to take out the word major. All organized religions upon the face of this earth today are dealing in deception, in lies, and in manipulation of vast numbers of populations for their own agendas, ends, and enrichment. And it has nothing to do with your spiritualism or your everlasting life or your spirituality, or for the preservation of your soul, or so that you will be judged worthy in the final judgment when you face whatever God it is that you're personally going to face. And for all of you who base this superior race nonsense upon the Bible, and set you straight right now. And set you straight before we even get into the main subject of this broadcast, because you need to be set straight. You see, anybody can pick an agenda out of the clear blue sky and go through the Bible and find verses that will support that agenda, and they can quote those verses to a gullible people and create a congregation from which will grow a church. And if they do it right, and if they do it according to the knowledge of mind control and the proper speech techniques in order to affect the belief of a congregation or population, they will create a mighty church. Make no difference that what they are teaching is absolutely false, untrue, arbitrary, plucked right out of the clear blue sky. Anyone can do it. For the Bible, if you know it well enough, will support any position. Any position that you may have, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think so? Pick a position, one that you think the Bible cannot support, and then go through the Bible and you will find verses that will support that position. That is, if you're honest with yourself. And that's what so many of these preachers do. I can tune into any evangelical broadcast on television, or I can tune into Dr. Gene Scott, or I can just walk down the street to the local Southern Baptist Church, which is in the complete control of the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, or any church for that matter. It doesn't matter which one it is. And I can sit there in that congregation, or I can sit in my living room and watch on television. I can watch them pulling verses out of the Bible, out of context, out of reason, out of the story that it was supposed to originally and really support, and make it support anything that they want to. They do it all the time, and so do you. And it's about time you all stopped. It is about time that you all stopped. Now let me give you a position taken from the Bible that will tell you that if you're basing your Israelism upon the fact that you belong to a certain race or certain peoples, that if you really believe in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, and if you really believe in hell, that's exactly where you're going. Right straight to hell on a roller coaster. And if you believe in the devil, he's going to be waiting there for you with his mouth open. And he's going to eat you, crunch you up, and swallow you whole. Don't believe it? Listen carefully. Now remember, I just took this right straight out of the Bible. And I could take it to support any position that I want. Out of the Bible, I can find the verses to support it. After the end of Daniel's 70 weeks in 34 AD, a new Israel has emerged, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the one that you think. According to what I'm going to quote here, I could also take another stance and quote verses that would actually absolutely oppose what I'm telling you tonight. And I can do that for any subject that you want to give me. You see, if you quote the Bible and you base everything that you say on verses out of the Bible, taken at random to support your position, I can also find verses out of the Bible, taken at random to support my position, an opposite position, to prove that you're wrong. And that's where you all go batty, you see, because I'm not saying that it's right to do that. I'm saying it can be done, and if it can be done, then you're full of crap. And you full well know it. You don't want to admit it, but you know it. You see, even though the term Israel was considered an ethnic term in the first century, old Paul, who was a member of the mystery school, reintroduced the Old Testament concept of Israel as a spiritual entity and not an inherent right of racial Israel, not the Hebrews at all. You understand what I just told you? If you don't believe that, listen to this. I'll quote directly from it. Romans chapter 2, verses 28, 29. Quote, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." End quote. So according to that, what makes a person a Jew or an Israelite then is not his physical genealogy, ladies and gentlemen, but his spiritual relationship with Christ. Boy, I bet that just knocks a whole bunch of you right out of your chair. You're on the wrong track if you're a Christian. And I'm not telling you have to be a Christian. Again, the term Israel has now become a spiritual term rather than an ethnic one. So all of you who base your Israeliteness or your Jewishness or your Hebrewishness or your one of the lost tribesishness on the fact that you belong to a particular race or group of people, you've just been shot right out of the saddle. See, this is not a new thought, as many of you think, but it's a reaffirmation of biblical Judaism. Paul continues this thought in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. "It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. How about that? Only those who have accepted the promise are true Israelites in the New Testament, the ones who have accepted the promise, Christ. To be born genetically of Abraham has no more merit with God than to be born of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Bill Clinton. Genetic inheritance has no merit with God. All that matters is a person's relationship with Jesus Christ. To be an Israelite now, one must be born spiritually. While Israel, according to these verses, is no longer ethnic in the New Testament, it is still possible for ethnic Jews to become a part of the true Israel. A person becomes an Israelite by faith, ladies and gentlemen, not by genealogy. According to Paul, according to these verses, and I back it up 100%, quoting it right out of the Bible to you, the same Bible you use to quote your nonsense to tell me that you're something special. And you're not. You're just another human being on the face of this earth. In that sense, you are special. And only in that sense. And according to your faith and your goodness, your responsibility toward your family and your community, and what you do that's good for the world. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 11, quote, "For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will be their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Verses 13 through 15 of the New King James Version. For generations, ladies and gentlemen, a wide, deep gulf existed between Jews and non-Jews. But by virtue of Calvary, that wall of separation has been forever broken down. If you are a Christian, you must believe that. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and you don't believe in salvation. Based upon the fact that he gave his life for the redemption of all sin. And for those of you who are not Christians, I'm not telling you you have to believe this or you're bad because you don't. I am making a point tonight, and I hope you're listening, whoever you are. You see, Christ called into being a new entity, a new Israel, composed of Jews and Gentiles. That new Israel, ladies and gentlemen, according to what Christ taught, was his church. Modern Christians today would say it's the Christian church. But I tell you this, if Jesus Christ were to come back today upon this earth and look at the Christian church as it exists today, I'm afraid they would all be broken by his wrath. For they're not teaching anything akin to what Christ taught, nor have they the message that Christ was trying to impart to the world, nor do they understand the simplicity of his teachings, nor would they take into their congregation those that he accepted with open arms on a regular basis. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, quote, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," end quote. Do you understand what that means? Hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, quote, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," end quote. Do you have any idea what that means? Christ was a reconciliation amongst all people. It is the saddest thing in the world that some have taken his simple teachings and used them to divide us against each other when that is not at all what he was about. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, listen carefully, quote, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord," end quote. Christ was not about separation. It was about bringing together. It was not about hating. It was about loving. He was not about master race, but about the human race. And according to the teachings of Christ, and according to the verses in the Bible, which I can quote to you, this new body, this new Israel, has no barriers to separate people by race or national origin. The new Israel is international in character, always was. It is based on spiritual issues, not on ethnic issues. But Paul doesn't end here. He goes one huge, giant step further in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 through 29. Quote, "Listen to this carefully. Quote, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," end quote. Amazing. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? No salvation by race with Jesus. All people are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's startling conclusion is that this new entity created by Christ, his church, which he said was wherever two or more come together in my name, there shall I be, into which people of all nations have been born by accepting Christ, is the new Israel. That's why I've told you many times on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, I am not opposed to world government, never have been, if it is done properly, in the truth, with love, and understanding, without manipulation and deception and destruction and killing and murder and maiming and hurting and stealing, which appears to be the only thing that the leadership of the world understands, because that's exactly how they're trying to create a new world order, through the destruction of the rights and the freedoms of the peoples of the world, through enslavement, through deception, through lies, through enmity, through dividing us up and pitting us against each other, pitifully and shamelessly. And I tell you that such a new world order cannot stand, will not stand, for it is based upon lies. All who belong to Christ are now Abraham's seed. They are Israel. Doesn't matter what race they belong to or what country they live in, what color their skin is, what their ancestry was, or what their level of education is, was, or ever will be. You see, if you're a Christian and you truly believe in the teachings of Christ, they are the inheritors of the promise made to Abraham. They are the heirs of the promise. As a result, Christians become the rightful heirs to all Old Testament promises made to Israel, because they are Israel. They have been made Israel by their faith in Jesus Christ, who died for the forgiveness of all sin. So, in New Testament time, according to the Apostle Paul, we are no longer to look for a fulfillment of the Old Testament promises given to an ancient Israel in the literal nation sense, but spiritual Israel, the Christian church that Christ himself described, not the Christian church that you see on television or that you have down in the corner of your street or that exists in the huge, gigantic temples and crystal cathedrals built from the pennies and dimes taken from people who really can't afford to give the money in the first place. Christ never asked anybody for anything, did he? Any prophecy referring to Israel that is fulfilled after the cross will be fulfilled, not in the ethnic nation of Israel. That's where you've all gone wrong, looking to Israel for the fulfillment of everything. Israel, ladies and gentlemen, will bring on, and I'm talking about the nation of Israel, will bring to the world persecution and suffering, and most probably a third world war. You'll find it fulfilled in the new Israel called forth by Christ himself, the Christian church. This startling, overwhelming conclusion of Paul's must have shaken ancient Judaism to its very core. They'd made so much of their ancestry. But Paul declares that the rightful heirs to that status are only those who are gathered to Christ. Not the Christ that you know today, not the Christ that condemns, but the Christ that welcomes with open arms. Not the Christ that tries to force some alien teaching that Christ never even understood down people's throat, but the Christ that stood by the side of the road and talked to those who would listen and let those who would not pass by. Christ of tolerance and understanding, the Christ who knew the poor and the sick and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and yes, even the wealthy. I've told you many times I am a Christian, and I'm going to tell you right now that is the Christ that I know. I'm not telling you that that is the Christ that you must know or that you have to know, but I am telling you that when you can control, when you can control the book in your hand and quote scripture to me, I also can quote it back to you. Because I know the Bible inside and out, upside down. I can take any position I want, and I can support it with the Bible. So can many people. That is what most of you do. That is the only way that you can have so many teachings, so many dogmas, so many different churches, so many interpretations, so many master races, and all of you claim to be right and support it with the scripture taken out of the Bible. And yet pay absolutely no attention to the actual, real teachings of Jesus Christ. And yet you still claim to be Christians. You cannot be. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are not. For Christ didn't teach any of it. None of it. Not one single word. And if you believe, and if you really are a Christian, if you believe that Christ came to change the world and to sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of sins and to save all people who would believe in him, then you must understand that when he came in that office to perform that task on commandment of his Father, the God of the universe, all that went before was gone forever. And all that came afterward was new and bright and shining and full of promise. And the only thing that has ruined it and destroyed it was not the teachings of Jesus Christ, but the teachings of mankind who have taken his simple teachings, his words, and twisted them and warped them and commanded men to go out and kill in his name and destroy and despise and judge when the commandment is, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. And the greatest commandment of all, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All has been ignored. One basic truth can be used as a foundation for a mountain of lies. And if we dig down deep enough in the mountain of lies and bring out that truth to set it on top of the mountain of lies, the entire mountain of lies will crumble under the weight of that one truth. And there is nothing, nothing more devastating to a structure of lies than the revelation of the truth upon which the structure of lies was built, because the shockwaves of the revelation of the truth reverberate and continue to reverberate throughout the earth for generations to follow. Awakening even those people who had no desire to be awakened to the truth. Now, I borrowed that from a man named Delamar Duvarious. It is a brilliant, concise dissertation upon the true facts and the true world wherein we live. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in hard assets, non-confiscatable, non-reportable, real money, if you will. in just about any form that you want it. But I suggest that you get it in coins that are readily recognizable and identified by just about anyone. For bullion is always suspect. You have to know that. There's going to come a time when the divisive factions that are propelling us against each other into a final conflict, which will result in the formation of a new world totalitarian socialist order, will pull the plug. When they do, life as we know it and societal order as we know it is going to come tumbling down, and all the viciousness and the evil that exists within the hearts of minds of men and women is going to come pouring out. Neighbor will be railed against neighbor, and people will be killed for a can of peas in their cupboard. Have the means to do so, we'll do it. Warlords and gangs will spring up and will rape and pillage and loot and steal and kill and maim. And unfortunately, except in areas where you have dedicated people who are willing to stand and fight in the cause of freedom, all of these forces will prevail. Where you have these people who really and truly understand the true meaning and concept of freedom, you may have a chance, and there may be a continuance of order and social intercourse. But it matters not which one of these you dwell in if you don't have the means to take care of yourself. And I'm not just talking coins now, I'm talking a lot of things. You're going to be at the mercy of whoever's stronger or smarter or more willing to pull the trigger than you. And in many instances, you're going to need something to trade with. And I'm going to tell you right now, just like all throughout the history of the world, gold and silver coin will be the king of the market, whatever market it is, whichever alley it is in, whichever back room it is conducted in, behind whatever tree. It will always be gold and silver coin that controls and rules that market. There will be other things that will be strong, things that people are addicted to, things that people must have, such as tampons, toothpaste, toothbrushes, coffee, cigarettes. Do you have any idea what one cigarette will be worth in such an environment? Well, if you haven't, you better think about it. And if you're addicted to cigarettes, you better think about getting off of them, because I would hate to be a slave to that kind of a situation. Gold and silver coin. Swiss America Trading. They guarantee what they do. I guarantee what they do. And don't pull in this funny stuff with me, folks. If you enter into an agreement, they tell you everything up front. They tell you the buyback policy and exactly what they'll buy those coins back for if you ever decide that you've got to sell them back. And they'll buy them back no matter what. No matter what the market is at, no matter what the reason, they will. But at the prearranged agreement, ladies and gentlemen, which is a certain percentage below the market value, whatever the market value has to be, or at a predetermined rate, no matter what the market is or how low it goes. You can't lose with Swiss America Trading because they're the only ones who do this. They'll always honor that. And so will I. But if you go into any other arrangement with any other body and has nothing to do with Swiss America Trading, forget it. And if you purchase coins tomorrow and 1 year later come to me and tell me you think you got took, you can forget that too. You wouldn't get anywhere in a grocery store, a used car lot, and you're not going to get anywhere with coins with that kind of baloney. Everything is recorded. Everything is taped. You not only agree to the terms once, but you are required to do it twice. They won't even ship the coins until after 3 days, and they call you again and go over all of the terms, make sure you understand everything, and if you say that you do, then those coins are shipped, and the deal is completed. Can't find anybody more honest. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. You'll be glad. You'll be real glad that you did. I mean, you may not be glad tomorrow or the next day, but there's going to come a day very soon where you're going to thank God that you got your hands on some real money. Just one of those coins could save your life and what's coming down the pike. And believe me, it's coming. And if you don't want to believe me, then I encourage you not to believe anybody, folks. When I say believe me, I'm using a figure of speech, and you all know it. As I've told you since the beginning of this broadcast over 4 years ago, don't believe anybody. Listen to everybody, read everything, believe no one, not even me, not even your mother, unless you can prove it in your own research. Study the history of socialism and communism, the international. Study the history of revolutionary forces when they have taken hold of a country, and you will see that I am absolutely 100% right. And the best knowledge, the best wisdom is always based upon the wisdom of history. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know, it has occurred to me that many of you listening have been so turned off by the teachings of the religious organizations and the vast financial empires that call themselves the Christian church today, that I would ask you just to do something very simple. Forget everything that you've ever heard about Christianity or that you've ever been taught about Christianity, because I'm going to tell you right now, most of it is not true. It's all wrong. Take out your Bible, go to the New Testament, to the letters in red, and just simply dismiss everything else that you've ever learned or ever been taught, and just read the very simple teachings of Jesus Christ. That may help you and may give comfort to many of you. And if you will start thinking on your own instead of listening to other people and being controlled by other people and being manipulated and allowing them to take these simple teachings of a wonderful man and use them to manipulate you, if you do that, you've done a terrible thing. Think for yourself. Read for yourself. Discover for yourself. The discoveries are wondrous, I can assure you. And most of what had been prophesied has already taken place. They've either taken place, or you're going to call Jesus Christ a liar. And I've already done a couple of broadcasts on that subject. And now I want to get into something entirely different. The Freemen have done something that's incredibly brilliant. I'm talking about the Freemen in Montana. Incredibly brilliant. They have written a legal tome, if you will, a treatise upon their situation, and they have given it to the negotiators who have turned it over to the Justice Department. And very simply, they have said, rule upon the accuracy of this treatise that we have put together. Tell us if it is right or wrong. And if you will do that, whether it's right or wrong, we will come out. What brilliance. What genius. For now, the Justice Department is an incredible fix. You see, if they go in there and kill those people, when all they have to do is release that document to the public and then rule on whether the Freemen are right in the law or wrong in the law, and the Freemen will come out. Then they will be committing another Waco. You see, as it stood before, it was not a Waco-type situation. Could never be. But now the Freemen have done something incredibly brilliant, and they have turned it into a possible Waco situation. For all the Justice Department has to do is make the entirety of the document public so that everybody can see what they're ruling on. And all they have to do is rule upon the points of law that the Freemen have given them. Yes, this point is true. No, this point is not true. And cite why in the Supreme Court cases and all that kind of stuff. And the Freemen have vowed that if the Justice Department will do that, they will come out and surrender. Isn't that amazing? How can the Justice Department not rule on those points of law now? How can they fail to do it? Because if they fail to do it and bring this to a peaceful solution, then there will be no alternative but to go in and kill those people. And if they do that, in light of the fact that they could have brought them out peacefully, simply by chasing some pieces of paper, releasing them to the public in their entirety and saying, this is true, this is not true, this is true, this is, and base it on law and cite the cases and the Supreme Court rulings and the statutes and whatever else. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And this would all be over within a very short period of time. If they did that and the Freemen failed to come out, then the Justice Department and the United States government would be perfectly legitimate and right in whatever means they had to take to bring it to a close. For the Freemen have proposed the deal. If the Freemen fail to honor the deal, and the Justice Department does honor the deal, based upon the premise that they release the entire document to the public so that they cannot lie to anyone, this is incredible. This puts the Justice Department and the Freemen on the spot. For if the Justice Department honor this, they can bring this whole thing to a peaceful close simply by ruling on the points of law in the document that the Freemen have given them. And whether they rule that the Freemen are right or wrong, the Freemen have vowed that they will come out once the Justice Department has made that ruling on each of the points of law. Not holding the document up and saying, oh, this is a piece of junk, it's not right. But on each point of law in the document, the Freemen will come out. Now, if the Justice Department rules upon each point of law and releases the entire document to the public so we can all see what they're ruling on,
there are no secrets, everything's done honestly and out in the open, then the freemen must come out. And if they fail to come out, then no one can support their position from that point on. No one at all. Under any circumstances. For they've made a deal. They put out their hand and they said, here, if you do this, we'll do this. They said, we're honorable men. We will honor our proposal if you will simply rule on the points of law that we have given you. Now, on the other hand, if the Justice Department fails to release the document to the public and fails to rule on each point of law contained in that document, then I would have to say that they are afraid that the freemen are right and will not rule because the freemen most probably are right. Why else would they keep it secret? Why would they fail to make a ruling? Why would they not want to bring it to a peaceful end? I'm telling you, somebody sat down and thought long and hard about that proposal, and when it was issued, it was issued after a stroke of genius. Maybe even some kind of divine intervention, I don't know. I do know that the freemen are very religious people and they've been praying constantly since this began. So maybe this proposal was divinely inspired. I don't know, and I'm not saying that it is, but the brilliance of it, the simplicity of it, the magnitude of the consequences on both sides if either side fails, and its responsibility is overwhelming. See, if the Justice Department fails to release this document to the public and fails to rule on each point of law, from now on, no patriot, no militia member, no true American will ever have any faith or believe the Justice Department or any arm of the Justice Department ever again. And even if the document is nothing but junk, trash, garbage, the fact that they wouldn't release it to the public and would not rule on the points of law contained therein will tell every patriot, every militiaman, every real American in this country that the Justice Department knows that the freemen were right and are not playing pool, even if the opposite is true. The government can only lose if they fail to release that document to the public and if they fail to rule on the points of law. And once they do, regardless of how they rule, there will be some who support the government and some who will argue that they're wrong, but it doesn't matter. They will have been honest and open. And the whole world will be looking at them and will see those points of law and are capable of doing research and finding out if the Justice Department has lied about it. And if they have lied, God help them. And once that is done, the freedmen are obligated. No, not obligated. Not obligated, ladies and gentlemen. They are bound by their word to walk out peacefully with their hands in the air and surrender. And if they do not, if the Justice Department fulfills its part of the bargain and releases the document to the public and rules on each point of law, and the freemen refuse to come out once that is done, then no one, and I mean no one in this world, can support them beyond that point. They don't have a whole lot of support right now, except for the diehard extremists, and I mean extremists, for this is no Waco situation until now. You see, once this document was given to the Justice Department and these terms were released, if the Justice Department does not take this avenue to bring this to a peaceful close by releasing that document to the public and ruling on each point of law and releasing their rulings to the public and asking the freemen peacefully to come out. If they do not do that, and if they go in there and kill those men, then it will be another Waco. For now the tide has turned. Now there is a peaceful solution in sight, held out for all to see. And if the government doesn't take it, it means that they want to kill those men. And if they want to kill those men, then we are back to Waco, Texas in 1993. And if that is true, if that is what happens, then the militia is bound. Bound by their word, by their duty, by the Constitution, and by the history and tradition of this country to stand and fight on their behalf. I hope you understand what I just said. These are heavy words tonight. A peaceful solution is there. If the government takes it, the freemen must come out. If the government takes it, they must do it openly and honestly, releasing the entire document to the public and ruling on each point of law and releasing their rulings to the public. The freemen must come out. If the freemen do not come out, they lose all support of all patriots, all militia, all Americans, for they have gone back on their word. There is no honor in that camp. And where there is no honor, there can be no support. If the freemen do come out, everyone in the world is going to be researching those points in law, and they're going to find out very quickly if the Justice Department told the truth or lied. And there will be a public trial, and it will all come out in court. And it will be extremely difficult to twist the law against the truth. If the United States government fails to release that document to the public, and if they fail to rule on each and every point of law, whether it's right or wrong, and substantiate their rulings in the law, citing court cases, Supreme Court rulings, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, if they fail to do that, when all they have to do is release it and rule on those points of law and release their rulings to the public, to resolve this peacefully, it will be a signal to the American people that this whole thing was arranged from the beginning to be another Waco, and that their entire goal is just to murder those people. You see how simple it is? Someone sat down and figured it all out. I don't know who it was, but I congratulate them. For the end is near. If the government really wants to resolve it peacefully, the end is near. And then we'll find out how honorable and truthful the freemen really are. And if the government really wants to murder them, they will not release that document and they will not rule on those points of law. They will merely wait until the time is right and the public has been adequately propagandized, and they will go in and murder them just like they murdered the people in Waco, Texas. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if that happens, when such a simple solution is in sight, there's going to be a civil war in this country. Not because I want it, because I certainly don't. I've worked for many years to prevent it. I've tried to wake up a consensus of the American people that would make it impossible for anyone to foment such a situation that could bring on such a war. Now, the ball is in the hands of Janet Reno, the butcher of Waco. Let's see if she really wants to cleanse herself, or if she wants to heap more blood upon her hands, for which she will surely suffer the consequences. And only you, ladies and gentlemen, can exert the pressure to create a peaceful end to this situation. All you have to do is write and call and fax every single person in government, including Janet Reno, the head of the FBI, the officials in Montana, all of your representatives and congressmen, and we may have a chance because Dole's quitting the Senate. If he quits the Senate, boy, that's really good for America. I got to tell you that. If you exert enough pressure, if you outline this plan, and if you tell them, by golly, you better bring it to a peaceful solution by releasing that document to the public and by ruling on those points of law, and the freemen have said they have given their word, they have given their honor that they will walk out peacefully. And if you fail to do that, it means that you have murder in your heart. That you've always had murder in your heart and you have no intention of bringing it to a peaceful close. It is a New World Order manipulation to create a situation that will bring about bloodshed so that you can be justified in your propaganda that America must be disarmed. Never forget for a minute that the goal of these people is to create a revolution which will justify their persecution of the American people and the disarmament and enslavement of all of us. Never forget that for one single moment. That's why I've been so hard on those of you who are so radical. You've never fought a war or killed anybody or drawn blood before in your life, and you're so eager to go out and prove yourself a man. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know this moment whether or not you're a man, then you're not. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. And I had better hear all the way in Arizona, your fingers dialing your phone, your fingers working your fax machine, your hand busy writing letters. And if you don't, if blood is spilled, the blood is on your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why the White House in a presidential memo declared this broadcast as the most dangerous broadcast in the world. Rush Limbaugh read it on the air.